As we're entering into Lent this Wednesday, we get this phrase that is befuddling to all of us. You know, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Well, all of our knee-jerk reaction is, well, I'm not perfect and I'll never be perfect. You know, what is he getting at there? I want to help us to understand this by first quoting from Archbishop Fulton Sheen. Some of what I'm talking about this morning, I actually shared Friday night with the Ladies of Divine Mercy for the same reason. We're entering into Lent. We need to understand these truths. So, for Archbishop Fulton Sheen, he said, man may live at three different levels, the sensate, the intellectual, and the divine. These may be likened to a three-story house. The sensate level on the first floor represents those who deny any other reality except the pleasures that come from the flesh. Their house is rather poorly furnished and is capable of giving intermittent thrills which quickly dry up. The occupant of this first floor is not interested in being told of a higher level of existence. In fact, they may deny their existence. On the second floor, there is the intellectual level of existence, that of the scientist, the historian, the journalist, the humanist, the man who has brought to a peak all of the powers of human reason and will. This is a much more comfortable kind of existence and far more satisfying to the human spirit. Those on the second floor may think their floor is a closed universe, regarding as superstitious those who desire a higher form of life. But there is actually a third floor, which is the floor of grace, by which the human heart is illumined by truths which reason cannot know, by which the will is strengthened by a power quite beyond all psychological aids, and the heart that is entranced with a love which never fails, which gives a peace that cannot be found on the other two levels. The world, therefore, is divided into the once born and the twice born, between the sons of the old Adam and the sons of the new Adam. Christ, between the unregenerate and the regenerate. There is a real inequality in the world. There are superior and inferior peoples. But the basis of distinction is not color, race, nationality, or wealth. The superior people of the earth are the supermen, the godmen. The inferior people are those who have been called to that superior state, but as yet have not embraced it. But the reborn must follow the laws of divine life for which God has prepared other sacraments. You're called to be supermen. In fact, I think you are supermen, superwomen, obviously. Why? Because you've broken through to an understanding. You've broken through to a revelation that says, yes, I must live in this higher life. You see, that's what Jesus was getting at. We're called children of God. We are to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. In other words, let's not lower the bar. I think far too many people, you would agree, would say, well, at least I'm not, you know, a murderer, a rapist. And so everything else is just okay in this world. But Jesus says, no. I mean, even pray for those who love those who are considered your enemy. Love them and pray for them. You know, God catches the wise in their own ruses, it says in the second reading. The Lord knows the thoughts of the wise that are in vain. We're being sold a bill of goods out there, aren't we? They're trying to normalize all of this base animalistic behavior and say that's just who we are. We're just Homo sapiens. So go ahead and ABC, XYZ, LBGTQ, you know, go ahead and do it. because we're just animals. No, we're children of God. We are children of God. And so we're called to that higher realm. And so when the world wants to act in this base and animalistic way, we're saying, no, that's not for us. In fact, we're called to be that bright light in the cold, dark world. We're called to raise our game. But if we're not raising our own game, then where is the model? You know, where is the inspiration for the world to raise its? And so I want us to enter into Lent this year by giving some very basic rules about how that life of Christ within us can actually burst open, germinate, break open, and rise up and produce the greatest fruit. And so we've been hearing a lot about farmers lately. I always like to remark that I was raised over at St. Mary Goretti Parish in the burbs. It wasn't until I was a priest till I met farmers. Holy cow! That's a good expression used for farmers, isn't it? But, oh my gosh! I mean, they're amazing. Why? Because they're just who they are. They've never, it seemed, felt to live a pretentious life in any way and to try to use people to get ahead or whatever, you know, we do in our human existence. They just are who they are. They're just genuine. They're amazing. But I love, and virtually every farmer I've met loves what they do. You love working 20 hours a week, right? It's sweat and toil. Yeah, they do. It's amazing. So I want to use the idea of farming as we go into Lent. Lent actually is a word that means spring. We're headed into springtime, aren't we? We're going to see this. We're seeing this happening as the snow will melt. We'll see, you know, in our agriculture, we have a strongly rural diocese. We'll see things start to happen again after the ground thaws. So what I want to title this is, let's farm for faith, okay? Let's farm for faith. So, farmers, and again, I'm not a farmer. I've observed. I hope you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure there's three fundamental things that farming needs, all right? The first is you got to clear the land. Okay, you got to make the land ready. Some farmers will get a piece of land that might be filled with, you know, foliage and forestation and all kinds of stuff, but they got to get it ready, right? They got to clean it out, get it ready for farming it. Sometimes the overgrowth will happen over the, you know, between planting and things like that. So you got to get it ready. But what's that like in our own spiritual life? Well, we got to go to confession, right? We got to clear out everything. You know, in that parable of sower seed, it talks about, you know, that thorns and things that will choke off that life. That, you know, we got to get rid of all that so that we have a nice, open, you know, soul to receive what God wants to give us. We got to clear the land of our soul. Fasting is another great way to do that as well. We got to go to confession. I tell people too, we stopped doing communal penance services years ago. I love communal penance services, but the one thing I don't like about it is I've observed over my 32 years of priesthood that it conditioned people to go to confession only once or twice a year. Okay, just when those are offered. Okay, for that reason, we don't do them here. Instead, I offer it as much as I can. And I encourage you all to have frequent confession. Continue to clear the land of your soul and make ready to receive the seed of Christ. Okay? Make that pure soul ready to receive the seed of Christ. Do that at least once a month. Fasting is another way. Fasting is like a detoxing or a detaching, right? We can be attached to so many things. Fasting gives us a greater sense of discipline. In being able to be detached from the pleasures of the world that we might make first and over against our relationship with God. So an excellent way of clearing the land. All right, so then once you've cleared the land, what do you need to do? Well, it's going to be hard clay. You got to till it, plow it. You know, soften the soil. Always tell people one of the greatest ways to soften your soil to receive the seed of God is adoration. Yes, if you can come when it's offered with exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, beautiful. We do that once a month, right? For the ladies of Divine Mercy, we just did it Friday, and we do it for the Knights of Divine Mercy, and we also do it on first Saturdays and other times. But here's the tabernacle. It's the same thing. You know, there used to be a great tradition in our church that people would just be driving by a church and they'd go, oh, I'm just going to stop in. They do chapel visits, right? Church visits. You're always welcome to do that. You know, we're open most of the day, during the day. But here's what you can do. Come a little earlier. Stay a little later. You know, to be able to be in quiet before the Blessed Sacrament. That softens the soil. You know that else softens the soil? Prayer. Just simply prayer. You know, and yes, do the beautiful formal prayers and devotions, the rosary. Okay, yes. Do those. Why? Because you're pleasing God so much. He revealed that He wanted us to do these through the saints, through the Blessed Mother. So do them, okay? But a way that really softens the soul is to be in relationship with Him. Talk to Him all day long. Informal prayer, right? Just be in relationship. Know that He's right here. When you have that kind of softened heart for the Lord, okay, you can receive more readily what He wants you to do. You can listen to Him better. So that when temptation comes, He can hear Him say, no, no, no. Right? Because you're in that relationship, that softened heart to receive the Lord. So now we've tilled the soil, right? We plowed. What's the third thing we need to do? Let's make that soil rich. Let's fertilize the soul. You know what fertilizes the soul best? God comes into that soul that loves His mom. Be in relationship with the Blessed Mother. And then after that, all the great saints that have been honored, canonized in our church. But Jesus can't deny His mom anything. I always remind people, she's our advocate, our defense attorney. You know, that pleads our case before the throne. I always envision Mary going, oh, come on, Father Rick, you know, before the throne. And then Jesus going, okay, Mom, you know, right? Okay, Mom. He loves to be with the soul that has Mary in its heart. Stick with the truth. Again, we're being so lied to in the world. You know, search for that truth. Divine revelation, sacred scripture, sacred tradition, what the Bible teaches, what the church teaches. Read the beautiful writings of the saints. We just read from Fulton Sheen. You know, we're called to be supermen, superwomen. I mean, this is rich stuff. We're adding a richness to the soil that makes that seed of Christ's life want to break open and to reach its potential, to live that high life, to spread the fruit of the Lord, okay? Yeah, and we're being lied to so much. This is why I'm so adamant using the last tool left. They own media, Hollywood, universities, public schools. They own it all. The last tool we have left is social media. So oftentimes when I'm teaching out there, I'm basically going, no. What they're trying to normalize here, what they're trying to get into you, to what? To take us down from our high life to live again as base Homo sapiens. We're called to live that high life. Live in truth, okay? Find it wherever you can. Yeah, social media and video gaming and all kinds of things can be a big distraction. But we have to also be together in truth, which leads me to leads me to this one. You got to be in strong relationships. This is awesome. I mean, I was with the people who were at 7:30 Mass. First of all, I think I didn't think there was 800 people at last Mass, but I heard 800 confessions in the confessional during Mass. I lost count. I don't think it was 800, but just amazing. And then afterwards, just the joy that they shared, and and everything. And please pray for Eric Hara, who had a diagnosis of some heart, serious heart problems. But I'm watching this, like an army of people are like swarming around them. What do you need? We'll help. We'll do this. You know, that's what Christian community was meant to be. That's why I always talk about the first church. They grew so rapidly. Why? Because people looked at them. Remember the Bible said they just gave everything away and they shared a common word. I'm not calling this a socialism, but I am called to do what they're doing to the Hara family, right? That's what we do. Farmers are great at that. You know, when some family is down, you know, they run to take care of that. This is what I'm talking about, though. But be around people who want the truth, who want to live the higher life and are saying no to all those influencers that are trying to tell us we're just animals, so behave like animals. No. Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. You are children of God. So even no lying or swearing or, you know, holding grudges. Love, the great treasures of our faith, the devotions. It's unbelievable. You know, again, God has revealed those to us and through the saints, through the Blessed Mother. And so when we love all these, I tell people I'm going to be 32 years a priest this year. And it seems every week I find another rich jewel or bauble of our Catholic faith that's amazing. You know, be with those. Christ wants to be with that. So then now what? We've added all these rich nutrients into our souls. Then the seed of Christ that we receive, the greatest gift ever given, the Holy Eucharist. When Christ comes in, it's able to burst open. So like St. Paul, we can say, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Then, we are called to bring that to the world, that white, hot light in that cold, dark world. Not under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand. Let that fruit be given away extravagantly. The fruit that we bear by that life that has been filled within us. The fruit is in Galatians 5. Love on people. So it's a shocking kind of love. The running to the aid of the Hara family love. You know, the what can I do for you love? Joy. You know, that kind of joy. Again, I just experience it. I experience it every weekend. You know, we get out, and especially after Mass, and everybody's just like, you cut it with a knife, the joy that's here. We've just received Christ. The fruit is being given away extravagantly. Okay? Love, joy, peace. You know what peace? Peace is so many things. Here's one of the things it is. Be low maintenance. You know, just be that peaceful, calm, and present. In other words, don't worry about me. Yeah, I think of, you know, you're pushing your cart in the grocery store, right? I go way out of the way so I don't threaten people when they're going to come this way, right? But I want to be low maintenance. I want to be a peaceful presence. I don't want to be a threatening presence. Right? And that's the peaceful heart that's so humble that says, you know, I don't need your attention. I don't need. Okay? Let me just quietly see what you need. Right? Patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Again, not under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand. Let it be extravagant. But you know what? That might seem hard if you're not in a state of grace. Oh, well. And then we lower the bar with these words. Well, try. It's like the bar's down here, and we're pretty sure we can't live the high life, but we'll try to maybe step a little, you know, I'll try a little. No! It's a decision all at once. Anyone can do it. A 7-year-old can do this when they reach the age of reason. There is no try. Do or do not. There is no try. Choose or choose not to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Choose or choose not to be a child of God. Choose or choose not to be a white hot light in this cold, dark world. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.